W Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Stephanie Officer. Sources tell ABC News there are no plans for the U.S. to retaliate against Iran for Iran's attack today on a U.S. base in the Middle East. Iran launching a barrage of missiles in response to U.S. airstrikes on Iran's nuclear facilities over the weekend. ABC's Rachel Scott.
As Iran was launching its retaliatory strike on the U.S. base in Qatar, President Trump was huddling with his national security team in the Oval Office. The Trump administration already bracing for Iran's attack. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dan Kane, tracking those missiles from the Situation Room. Within hours, the president confirming in a post that American troops in Qatar were safe.
Meanwhile, the U.S. Embassy in Qatar has lifted its shelter-in-place order that took effect earlier today. The embassy will reopen June 24th and consular services will continue. Qatari airspace remains closed. This is ABC News. A seventh body has been recovered after the deadly capsize in South Lake Tahoe over the weekend. ABC's Alex Stone reports.
One person is still missing and now seven are confirmed dead. A storm moved into the Lake Tahoe area on Saturday afternoon, causing the boat on a lake at D.L. Bliss State Park to overturn. Connor Bugby was there and says he saw huge waves in fierce wind.
It was snowing sideways, and then next thing you know, you just have 3 to 4 foot waves coming in, and it just turned into, felt like a hurricane.
In total, 10 people were on the overturned boat. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Ford has issued a recall for nearly 200,000 electric Mach-E Mustang mid-sized SUVs, citing a faulty door latch on some 2021 to 2025 models that could potentially trap passengers in the back seat. Superstar Dolly Parton unveiling her return to the Las Vegas Strip later this year, playing half a dozen shows that span seven decades of hits from the Queen of Country. Stephanie Officer, ABC News.
Appleton Cigar Company on College Avenue has been serving the community for over 25 years. If you are a cigar aficionado looking for a one-of-a-kind experience, you need to check out Appleton Cigar, which boasts the largest selection of cigars north of Milwaukee with over 706 cigars to choose from in a walk-in humidor. The Cigar Lounge offers an impressive variety of spirits and cocktails that pair perfectly with a premium cigar. For the full experience, come to Appleton Cigar at 415 College Ave, Monday through Saturday, 11:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. For more information, go to appletoncigar.com.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be tricky. So here at WGBW, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WGBW.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you got an event to share, hit us up by emailing info at WGBW.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers are back home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Milwaukee Brewers and Pittsburgh Pirates beginning a three-game series at American Family Field tonight. The Brewers went from a 9-3 lead over the Twins yesterday to a 9-8 win thanks to closer Trevor McGill, manager Pat Murphy.
When leverage guys come in with a big margin, sometimes things are different. That's kind of the story of that. But they held it together, and McGill was terrific. You know, McGill was terrific.
NBA, Kevin Durant traded to the Houston Rockets in a blockbuster deal with the Phoenix Suns. The Oklahoma City Thunder, 103-91, to win their first NBA title. The Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton suffering a torn Achilles in the first quarter. Racing, Alex Palo winning the XPEL Grand Prix at Road America on a very hot day at Elkhart Lake.
It was a crazy race. It was a crazy race for us. At moments, I thought we were losing a ton of positions and we were making. It was a tough race for everybody.
That's Indy driver Alex Palo with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The box office saw a repeat champion from last week, a new horror flick that came in right at expectations, and one that absolutely flopped, coming in way under expectations. How to Train Your Dragon brought in $37 million this past weekend, giving it a domestic total of $160 million. With Danny Boyle back in the director's chair, 28 years later brought in a very respectable $30 million at the gate and an additional $30 million overseas, putting it on pace to be the highest-grossing film by far of the franchise. There was not so great news, though, for Pixar's Elio. The film turned out to have the lowest opening ever for a Pixar film, bringing in just $21 million at the box office. Lilo and Stitch is holding fast and brought in about $10 million over the weekend, which is nearing $1 billion worldwide. More big releases right around the corner. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A severe thunderstorm watch has been issued. High damaging wind gusts expected around 60 to 70 miles per hour. Heavy downpours, lots of lightning, and hail is possible too, which could be up to the size of ping pong balls. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 75 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I am live from Madison, where I welcome singer-songwriter Kaylin Cole, who performs in studio. Then I'll talk cinematic sisterhood with Milwaukee Films' Susan Kearns. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 6 till 8.
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to 97.9 WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cup, hit me, cut it, dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and they're illusionary.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. A kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awakened. I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Jaleesa, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
That's right, Jaji. Hey, this portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Trading Post. Shop now online at cause-cart.shop and search for Native Roots to find your resist gear.
Yeah,
Kinigigi.
Right on. Hey, did you see me freeze there? It's like he knew. Speaking the language here. We have a great show today, and I'm really excited to have the guest, our guest come on, and Arnold Dahl, and we got a lot to talk about with him. But at first, I want to wish you a happy birthday, Eve.
Thank you. Pina Gigi, Judge.
Hey, right on. And then we want to do our word of the day in our sacred voice of Ho-Chunk. And do you have something for us today?
Yes, we do, everybody. So I love this tradition that Judge has done on the show. So today's Ho-Chunk word is Humpy Jaina, which means nice day.
Let's have a nice day. We got to figure out the definition of have a nice radio show.
Yes, let's add that next time.
Humpy Jaina.
Humpy Jaina.
You say that with that little Reza accent.
Yes, Humpy Jaina.
Good. We got the president doing what he's doing, and I just have to tell our relatives, because as you know, Native Americans are per capita the most people in the service.
Yep.
And I didn't say that right, but we have more people per capita in the service. We have like 15% of the service is Native Americans, and we're only 2% of the population.
Exactly.
So we have to say, be careful, our relatives out there. This is not going well, and we have to put tobacco out and pray for Turtle Island and all our relatives all across Turtle Island. And this has really been a really a taxing weekend. I know you and your sister have been doing your thing this weekend, and I wish I could do that too. And I got all this stuff popping up on my phone, and I'm thinking, why am I sad, you know? And, you know, and so we just say a big prayer out there that this doesn't escalate into something bigger than these incompetent people in the White House can handle, because they are incompetent.
Absolutely. It's one of the most careless, just most horrendous things that the president can do. And it's just so careless. And, you know, Congress, that's their job. And I'm glad you bring up specifically, because I want to send all of my prayers to all the people involved. And but I'm glad that you put that out there too. I think I don't know that a lot of people know that you know that percentage is mm-hmm. highest among Native people. Mm-hmm. So you know, we're not only here, but we're also serving this country. So yes, a big shout out to them. So thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is, you know, when we have powwows or when mm-hmm. the elder is you know, and I don't mean baby elder like me, I'm 64. I mean our lead elders with the mm-hmm. knowledge, and then our military people, those are the top two. And we're going to have a guest on here in just a minute here. And one of the things that we've always talked about here, Jaleesa, is that, you know, when they colonized us, there's the two groups of people that they attacked right mm-hmm. away. Mm-hmm. And one was our two spirits, and,
yes.
the other was our medicine people or men. Mm. And, you know, this is Gay Pride Month, and yep. we're going to be at live on Saturday at 1 o'clock, and we got some mm-hmm. rocking guests to be at Pride at. And mm-hmm. but right now I want to get our guest on, and we're really excited to have Arnold Dalwoolley. And thank you so much for being on. Ho-wa.
Well, I'm honored to be here.
This is great. I think we've talked a few times over the years, but this is the first time you've been on the show, and I don't know how that's happened or didn't happen, but we have a celebration that we want to talk to you about, that you're the Twin Cities Pride BIPOC Leader of the Year. But before we get into the celebration stuff, and I do have applause button here. So when we do talk about that, we're going to applause. But I'd really like to talk about who you are. And I know you have this, I've looked at your website, your two-spirit advocacy. Thank you. I knew I was going to have problems with that. And I was practicing with Jaleesa and I panicked. But, and talk about your website and what you do, and you have this great bio on there. Let's talk, welcome, and let's talk a little bit about yourself before we get into your accomplishments and why Twin Cities Pride made you BIPOC Leader of the Year.
Hey.
All right. Well, a little bit about myself. You know, I am a Leech Lake band member. So like Buju, Akani Mutt Nidijinakaz, Mikanakthotem. My name is Strong Wind, and I'm from the Turtle Clan, and so my English name is Arnold Dalwoolley. And but I'm also the first same-sex marriage to be sanctioned by the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe in 2013. That's the Ojibwe Nation. And so I was very happy and honored to be a part of that. And also, too, in our tribal teachings, that's always been recognized and protected, and I think that's something to pay attention to. It's in our tribal teachings. And, but I've been doing advocacy outreach for 20 plus years. Just when I left the Leech Lake Reservation years ago and I moved back, it kind of felt like when I moved back to Minnesota that I stood still. Mm-hmm. And, what I thought was interesting is my phone kept going off. It was people calling me from a lot of two spirits. Because the reason why they were calling me is that I was already very, you know, everybody knew who I was when I came back and I bought my father's store, me and my partner at the time, Matthew. And, but it was usually people in crisis, a lot of youth, they were suicidal, didn't know how to tell their families. And I always knew about like the traditional aspects of what two-spirit, what that meant. It was something sacred, honored, and protected, you know, mm-hmm. and in some cases revered. So I would share that story over and over. I started holding seminars. You know, anytime I had like a free space, I'd hold a seminar. And first time I held one, I thought, I'm going to get like 5, maybe 10 people. Mm-hmm. You know, so I got a free coffee pot and a little bag of cookies. And then 30 people showed up. And then I thought that was amazing. And then they said, can you do this again? I'm like, well, yeah, absolutely. And then more people showed up, and I had like pieces of paper that I would hand out, I found a copy machine, and just that just kept growing and growing and growing. And I really did see like the need for advocacy, because I did sense and feel the disparities that happened to the Two-Spirit population still after all those years. You know, it's like, you know, I felt that maybe time had moved on. We had to understand, you know, of our decolonization and all of our teachings. We're trying to do all this reclamation, trying to make sure that we understand who we are. And the Two Spirits were really kind of like forgotten about. Mm-hmm. And so I really kept speaking about it more and more. And I always wanted to have like an advocacy resource place, something that I always dreamed about when I was younger. Cause it's like, you know, to have an advocacy of some sort to where you can go to, it's that safe space and has cultural inclusion, why that's important, and discuss that, you know, so you can have that for youth and then family members and elders. I thought that was really important for us to see.
Let's talk deep about that, because that's some amazing work. And as a former high school teacher, I just cannot do but applaud your work. And hey, this is Native Roots Radio. We're going to come right back here after this short break.
Stay with us.
What does it mean to begin? Creation Story explores Native origin stories through powerful contemporary art, connecting past and present with every brushstroke in sculpture. Explore how identity, culture, and resilience are shaped through art. Creation Story, now at All My Relations Arts through July 26th, this exhibition invites you to the heart of the Ochate Shikoin storytelling, where spiritual relatives guide the way. Open to all. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org. Experience the beginning. Experience Creation Story at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio. AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950. Support for Native Roots Radio comes from the Walker Art Center, an art space that's more than the spoon and cherry. Galleries celebrate contemporary visual art, including Indigenous artists like Edgar Heap of Birds, Cheyenne and Arapaho Nation, and Jim Demeny, Ojibwe. Additionally, films screen in the cinema, and performances are shown on stage. Free every Thursday night and free every day for members and citizens of tribal nations. Learn more at walkerart.org. Again, that's walkerart.org.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces, because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to
Ben presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. There you go, Jaleesa.
Hey, that's me. Everybody, this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic off of Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis. They are honoring health and tradition.
I love that tagline, and I say that every show, don't I?
That you love it.
Yeah. Honoring.
Consistent.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Oh, that's good coming from my daughter here. Awesome. Hey, Nepotism's love running wild here, Arnold, and it's great to have you on. And we want to get back into that talking during the break, and we're going, oh, we lost track of time because we were listening so intently with you, but
yeah,
we really appreciate this. You know, starting with being the first same-sex marriage sanctioned by Leech Lake, and my son-in-law and your brother-in-law is a Leech Laker, so
yeah,
we feel even closer to you now, Arnold.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yes. Wow. That's right.
Through marriage.
In a good way.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have a niece and a nephew that are, you know, Leech Lake, so very cool.
Yes, that's right.
And Ho-Chunk.
Yeah, they're Ho-Chunk and Leech Lake Ojibwe.
I would have said Ho-Chunk first, but Jaleesa, you had the mic, so
you went first.
So, yeah, let's talk a little bit more about that, because you had your first group, and you bought a Mr. Coffee at Goodwill and expected four or five people and 35 people showed up. That really tells us something. And as being a former educator, and I know, Jaleesa, you're in the counseling business too, we know that there's a lot of people that are hurting and not able to speak to people about what's going on with them. So let's talk a little bit more about that journey. Jeez. Mm-hmm.
That was something that I talk on my presentations, because I do talk about my voice when, because inside my head, my voice is very deep and gravelly, and it always has been. And this is going to date me a little bit, because you remember those tape recorders? You used to press play and record it, record your voice or your top 40 songs. Well, yeah. Anyway, I heard my voice back, you know, as a teenager for the very first time, and I heard it. I was like, oh my God, you can tell and by some of the words I said. And I was like, that terrified me. Because it's like, why would something like that terrify me? Because I was closeted. Nobody knew about me at that time. And so, because I'd seen people that were being persecuted, you know, in schools, in the hallways, you know, of the way, or people being perceived as such, you know, as a two-spirit, somebody from the 2S LGBTQ plus population. You know, those people were being verbally mocked, ridiculed, abused, and the teachers did little to nothing to stop that. And some of these people were abused physically. You know, the physical violence in the hallways. And so I pretended to be somebody else because I didn't want that type of abuse. I wanted to graduate. And so, you know, because some of those students had to quit school because the violence had gotten so bad. And but those are the people that you just kind of didn't pay attention to. You know, I was like, oh, like some, like this is something that they deserved, or, you know, that they needed to go somewhere else. It's, you know, and at that time, I did feel very alone, because being from that population, I thought I was alone. You know, because, you know, nobody was coming to terms with it at that age, or was closeted. But then as I got older, I realized how large the population actually is. It's a lot larger than people realize. And also, too, the false information that was out there. There was a ton of false information. So the fear factor of people coming out was incredible. And, you know, even to my family, I did, you know, the big coming out, because everybody's like, what year did you come out? It's like, this is a big celebratory act. I come out all the time. You know, it's like, you know, everywhere you go, somebody asks, are you gay? I'm like, yeah, you know, I came out again. All right. But every single time you come out, you always have that little bit of apprehension. How are they going to take this? You know, are they going to be okay? Are they educated enough? And also, too, if culturally, it's like, do you understand culturally what two-spirit means? That this is something that is sacred and respected. You know, so, and that usually brings up a topic and discussions, and, you know, and also something very important for the youth. And sometimes the parents really need to hear that, because they always feel like, is it something that happened, or did we do something wrong? Is it because we let so-and-so play with a doll, or let play with the truck? It's like, no, it's, you just are, and it's okay. It's absolutely okay.
That's amazing. And you don't look that old to have one of those tape recorders.
I give it all to my mom. Good genetics. I'm a lot older than I look.
Oh, geez. I know. I found a tape that we were doing, I think I was 11 or 12, and we were doing All-Star Wrestling and doing as a radio show. And it was just like, wow. But yeah, that's an amazing story. And and can you talk a little bit about, and we touched lightly in the beginning of the show about how revered Two-Spirit people were in tribes across the Turtle Island. And, you know, when the colonizers came, they killed Two-Spirit people and our medicine people the first time around. And I don't know if you can talk a little bit more about that.
I can talk about some of that, because, you know, over, you know, we have to think about, you know, like historically, you know, but like before colonization, it's like, you know, Two-Spirit members, they even have archaeological evidence that shows that Two-Spirit members have been around for tens of thousands of years, completely loved and supported. It was just, these are just family members and community members, our teachers and our healers, you know. So, and one of my favorite stories is to share, like, Weewa from the Zuni tribe. They sent over a delegation from the Zuni tribe to go meet the president at the time, which was President Grover Cleveland. And they sent Weewa. And I think this is very important for us to pay attention to, because who is Weewa? Weewa's transgender. And this was one of the most highly respected members of their tribe. And so this is how, you know, Native Americans, how as Anishinaabe indigenous persons, you know, this is, you know, we're, these are just people. You know, and so when they over colonization, that's where we started to learn like new words, words like abomination and sinner, and where mockery is okay, ridiculed, pushed down, and also that violence was acceptable as well. And so it's like, no, those weren't our values, those aren't our ways, but that's something that we learned. And so it's like, this is wrong. And so it's like, we don't persecute our people or any people. We don't persecute like that. These are our family members, our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas, uncles and aunties, and our kids. So we were very inclusive. And so for many, many, many years, everything was fine. And over colonization, that's where we started to learn like different words. And sometimes I like to clarify too, it's nothing against Christianity, because sometimes people say, this is against Christians. It's like, no, it's just to bring light to actually what was occurring during that time. But we did start learning those words of abomination and sinner, and violence was acceptable. And it was all, you know, usually related to that.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know where it says anything against gay people in the Bible, but I do know if you are wearing wool that you should be stoned and things like that. So, I mean,
they always bring up Leviticus. It's Leviticus. But it's like, no, it's not even that. It's not in there. It's not in there.
Yeah. Yep. Oh yeah, we could have a whole conversation on that.
But we could.
I hope you all don't mind I chime in. Oh, the dog is barking.
That's now. Okay.
She's a part of the show. But I'm so glad you bring this up, because tomorrow, which is me and my twin sister's birthday, is also the Two Spirit Powwow ran by New Native Theater that I have done acting and some different things with them. So that is their fourth annual, and it is over at the American Indian Center, Minneapolis. And the feast is at 4:00. Grand entry, I believe, is at 5:30. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you brought that up.
Two-Spirit Powwow.
And it's a fourth annual, and it's always good. And it's during the week here, and it's indoors this time, because I know the last couple, I was either stroking out on heat or the thunderstorms. But now we got AC at the Minneapolis Indian Center.
That remodel, though.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So I want to talk a little bit, and I want to keep you on, if you don't mind, for one more segment and talk a little bit about this great award that was bestowed to you. And I don't know if you're going to be around, but AM 950 is going to be at Pride, and we're going to have Jace Rowe is one of the guests, and Dr. Stately is another guest. And I don't know if you know Jace Rowe, but he's TikTok famous, and you went to school with him, didn't you?
I did, yes. So Jace and I both were in the same program when I was getting my counseling license.
Yeah, so
shout out to Jace.
So Jace on TikTok is Auntie Jace.
Yes.
So we're excited to have
Auntie Energy.
That's right. We're excited to have him on. But hey, Arnold, can you hold on for another segment? We can get deep into the award.
Oh,
that
please
you
do, because I got a great story to share.
Oh, good. Well, now
yay.
You'll start out the next segment. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're going to take a quick break and pay the bills. We'll be right back after this short break. Right.
Stay with us, everybody. Pini gigi.
Ho.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Matinee on Air.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Stephanie Officer. Sources tell ABC News there are no plans for the U.S. to retaliate against Iran for Iran's attack today on a U.S. base in the Middle East. Iran launching a barrage of missiles in response to U.S. airstrikes on Iran's nuclear facilities over the weekend. ABC's Rachel Scott.
As Iran was launching its retaliatory strike on the U.S. base in Qatar, President Trump was huddling with his national security team in the Oval Office. The Trump administration already bracing for Iran's attack. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Dan Kane, tracking those missiles from the Situation Room. Within hours, the president confirming in a post that American troops in Qatar were safe.
Meanwhile, the U.S. Embassy in Qatar has lifted its shelter-in-place order that took effect earlier today. The embassy will reopen June 24th, and consular services will continue. Qatari airspace remains closed. This is ABC News.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers are back home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, the Milwaukee Brewers and Pittsburgh Pirates. Beginning a three-game series at American Family Field tonight, the Brewers went from a 9-3 lead over the Twins yesterday to a 9-8 win, thanks to closer Trevor McGill, manager Pat Murphy.
When leverage guys come in with a big margin, sometimes things are different. That's kind of the story of that. But they held it together, and McGill was terrific. You know, McGill was terrific.
NBA, Kevin Durant traded to the Houston Rockets in a blockbuster deal with the Phoenix Suns. The Oklahoma City Thunder, 103-91, to win their first NBA title. The Pacers, Tyrese Halliburton, suffering a torn Achilles in the first quarter. Racing, Alex Palou, winning the XPEL Grand Prix at Road America on a very hot day at Elkhart Lake.
It was a crazy race. It was a crazy race for us. At moments, I thought we were losing a ton of positions and we were making. It was a tough race for everybody.
That's Indy driver Alex Palou with Sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're looking for something to see in the theaters, here's one of Pete's picks. 28 Years Later is really good. I'm not typically a zombie movie person, but the third installment of this riveting and at times gruesome franchise, in my opinion, is the best one so far. The film opens on a small island with people who have survived the rage virus and starts with a father and son going to the mainland. They barely make it back, but the son decides to take his mother back to the mainland after learning there is a doctor there who could possibly cure her unknown illness. If you like zombies or just great suspense, check it out. Speaking of the undead, Norman Reedus's The Walking Dead spinoff Daryl Dixon has a third season headed our way. The Walking Dead has birthed many undead spinoffs, and Daryl Dixon might be its most critically favored to date. Season 3 drops September 7th on AMC. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A severe thunderstorm watch has been issued. High damaging wind gusts expected around 60 to 70 miles per hour, heavy downpours, lots of lightning, and hail is possible too, which could be up to the size of ping pong balls. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 73 degrees at our studios.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Mino and the Mayor.
Show the picture he showed me today in the striped little short shorts.
No, it was the
they
belly.
They would be banned
I
now.
No, John.
Too much skin.
Hubba, hubba, hubba.
Man, dig that crazy chick.
Oh, man, short shorts.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings, 6 till 9. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll have on Alex Bedorsky of the Nature Conservancy talking about the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Project and conservation around the state. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Oh-ho, this is Dallas Gold. You're listening to Radio Hope. Wait, John.
Welcome back to Native Moik, and this is Robert Pilot.
Supported by Native American Community Development, NACTI, in Minneapolis.
Hey, Wooly and his TwoSpiritAdvocacy.com and Twin City Pride BIPOC Leader of the Year, and I want to get into that, but I'm going to let Arnold, you have a story you want to forget that, because as John, her father here is short. Oh,
well, it's actually we can go with like the BIPOC of the year, and I have my little awards right here. I had to put it on my desk.
Oh,
and I'm very honored to have this because I received an email about this a long time ago. And at first I thought it was spam because I was like, what are you talking about? BIPOC leader of the year? And I was like, this has got to be spam. It's from TC Pride. And it's like, oh no, it was genuine. I was very much honored to receive this. And I have been public speaking and doing advocacy. I am nationally recognized now, which I find a little bit unsettling at times. But then it was... Well, the one that shocked me the most is when I received my award and we're all giving our speeches, and that, you know, you meet people and representatives, and but Peggy Flanagan, she did a wonderful, powerful speech, and then she looked over at me and said, "Arnold's my brother," and went on and on about me. I was like, "Oh my gosh, she knows who I am." And I was like, I didn't know how to take that. I was like, oh my gosh, she knows who I am. She's saying nice things about me. And I thought that was absolutely fantastic. But I have been extremely honored to receive BIPOC Leader of the Year. I didn't expect that. But obviously, because I thought it was spam. but you know, I think it's fantastic. So, and it got a beautiful little trophy, and I proudly put this on my desk, and yeah, it's overwhelming. I really don't have words for I've never received anything like this, and I've been doing this for 20 plus years, and to receive this, it was just, it floored me. Absolutely floored me. But there's more.
Okay, good.
Do tell.
Because as you know, it's like, you know, I'm a busy boy, and this is part of the other things that we're doing, because we're talking about TC Pride, you know, and then I got TC Pride BIPOC Leader of the Year, and it's all about, you know, making sure that we're paying attention to some of our forgotten members, or, you know, I'm here about to support and uplift, and also to honor our Indigenous culture and persons, and, you know, if there's disparities happening in the world, we always want to make sure we bring light to it. And so we did reach out to Two-Spirit Advocacy, which is our mission, is to make sure that we, you know, enlighten, bring all these different cultural aspects to life again, you know, the inclusion and the support and the safety, and why is this cultural aspect important, you know, and it's pay attention to any disparities that are occurring. So we reached out to MMIW. And because MMIW and Two-Spirit, these are two entities that are silenced through violence. You know, and I did a photo shoot with Nadonis Rose Green from Green Photography a few years back with Dwa Brown. And that went, you know, it's still at the Springboard for the Arts in St. Paul. I think it's on this billboard. It's going to be there for, you know, about another 15 years. But we did another photo shoot. And so we're bringing more light to the disparities that are happening to these two entities of Two-Spirits and MMIW. So in Twin Cities Pride this year, we'll be leading the Pride flag again. And so we'll be Two-Spirits, but also the flag is going to be held by all MMIW members. So the whole flag. So this is the first time ever that something like this has occurred. So it should be very powerful for people to pay attention to what is happening in the climate today. Like you mentioned, yes. It's our Two-Spirit flag. And so
I love it.
This has never been done before. And it's like, yes. So it's like, let's pay attention to, it's like, you know, what's happening in the world today. You know, it's like, we're still here. And it's like, we need to make sure we pay attention to certain disparities, because, you know, lives are really at risk when we talk about this stuff. We talk about the Two-Spirits. We want to make sure that we're safe, and then we know our history and our culture. It's like, we are the sacred and honorable with everyone else. You know, so it's like, you're sacred and honorable too. In our MMIW, it's like, let's pay attention. It's not just missing and murdered Indigenous women, as we know. You know, there's persons, you know, and a lot of our Two-Spirit members are in there. And so MMIW is usually carrying the Two-Spirit flag as well. And so I always really, really appreciate to see that, because they're paying attention to the disparities and violence that occurs to our populations at times. And so, of course, we need to reach out to MMIW. And so it's in a very honored that they said, absolutely, they're 100% on board. First time ever, it's going to be holding the whole Pride flag in Minneapolis, doing Pride for Minneapolis. So it should be an amazing, amazing sight.
Well, I have one of those plates, but isn't it MMIWR now for relations or
relatives?
Thank you.
Yeah,
it's relatives. Yes, it's relatives. Relatives. Yes.
This isn't my first week on the show, Arnold. I've been on 9 years now. It just kind of acting like it here, a little slow today.
But, not at all.
But yeah, so I think that's always important, because, you know, I'm from the era when, you know, my friends were, did things for the Catholic Church, you know, young people, and we know what's happened and what's come out over the years about, you know, altar boys and things like that. And so it's really, it warms my heart that it's opened up to our communities all over.
Yeah. Well, and I like what you said too earlier, Arnold, about, you know, it's not that we're, you know, dissing or however you want to say it, you know, the actual Christianity. It's more or less like what has come with it. And because I think that a lot of times people will stand on themselves in order to kind of like share hate. And it really, that's all based on fear and kind of that sheltered one way of thinking, right?
100%, 100%. Because it's like, you know, and I always tell people, it's like, if you have a question, ask us. You know, exactly. If you have questions, concerns, you know, go ahead and ask. Because I'm a person too. And all the other Two-Spirit population, you know, we have families, we have parents and siblings. Yes. You know, some of us are parents and, you know, grandparents. It's like, yeah, if you have a question, ask. And, you know, yeah. I'm more than willing to sit down and have a cup of coffee, come over to our advocacy, see our library. You know, or just we have snacks. Just right. Come on in, or come see one of our social groups, because we have several social groups too. Come see the parents and the families that are here. You know, we can see that we're playing games or having snacks, and it's also too. We do have a full database at the Two-Spirit Advocacy now. We reached out to all the Pride agencies in the state of Minnesota. They all know who we are, and so that was one of the things I wanted to be very intentional. It's like, please understand that there's advocacy and outreach, and that if you're from the 2S LGBTQ plus population, that you're sacred and respected and honored.
Absolutely. Yes. And one of the things that I just want to, we've talked about this many times. My wife, Wendy, is a pharmacist that used to work at the University of Minnesota in infectious disease and HIV. And we just always need to talk about that, bring that up, is that that's still a thing. And I know a lot of people think that it's over with, and I just wanted to bring that up because I do remember, I'm 64 years old, and I do remember friends dying, and there was no there was no cure, and there was a president that never talked about it until yes. I guess Rock Hudson, his friend, died of it.
Yes, it was, you know, because I'm a child from the 80s, and then I'm like coming up after, but I knew people from before. You know, I heard the stories of what was going on. I seen the disparities that were happening to our community and things that were being said and the mockery and ridicule, and then how people stand idly by when people just died. It's just crazy. And so I have to appreciate some of the movies that came out to help educate people along the way. Mm-hmm. When they came out with Philadelphia with Tom Hanks, you know, that was powerful. But every time somebody sees me, it's like, oh my gosh, don't get AIDS. That's all the only thing they could think of when they see me. It was just AIDS. So it's like, well, and we do need to pay attention. There's still issues that are happening in you know, for the community. You know, it's like to not turn blind eyes. But a lot of people would just completely sweep us under the rug, treat you lesser than human, and you're a lesser person just by being. And so that's why I know when the AIDS epidemic was around, it's like, people were dying left and right, and people just allowed that. And it's just disheartening. It is scary because I know me being from that population and my husband and the whole community that I'm truly blessed to be a part of. I'm so honored to be a part of the Two-Spirit population. Mm-hmm. And I would never change that for anything in the world. And so it concerns me when people would stand idly by when people are being hurt, whether through disease or violence, to stand idly by. I don't believe in that. That's not our cultural way anyway.
Right. Exactly. And the sad thing is too, in our position, we have a lateral oppression a lot of times in our community, we have to remind our relatives of that that's not how we are. And so to re-educate, and then we go back into the boarding schools and the abuse that happened there too. And, it's deep in our community, and there's still, and it's not that long ago, there's still major healing that needs to be done in our community too.
I am so happy you brought that up, because, like, you know, when I give presentations, just to enlighten some of the audience that I've been to, we talk about boarding schools, because some of my slides show the boarding school. I go, people like to think this is ancient history, many years ago, forget about it. What can't we just get over? It's like, my mom was in a boarding school. Mm-hmm. You know, people not much older than me were in a boarding school. So it's like, this isn't ancient history we're talking about. It's not that long ago. And so we talk about lateral oppression, like you mentioned too. And thank you for bringing that up. Oh my gosh, I just love the show.
Because another show.
You'll have to become a regular.
Yeah, I'd be honored. I have lots to say. That's great. But it was like, we talk about lateral oppression. It's like, I know we all want to be there for one another, but sometimes we over colonization, we forgot some things. We forgot some things, and we need a reminder. We need a reminder of who we are. You know, it's just like, let's get those reminders of who we are. That's why I love our language immersion programs, because like we're learning our language again and we're writing it down. We're never going to forget again. So also the Two-Spirit population is in here too. You know, and so sometimes it's not a pick and choose of which part of our culture, you know, of our colonization. We forgot a lot of things. That's why I love the hearing those words of decolonization.
Yes.
To pull our sacred things through, our supportive things through. And, you know, we don't want to do like lateral oppression either, because I want all of our people to be successful, all of our people to be healed. You know, and we can only do that like when we work with one another. You know, I'm not going to persecute another Native American or Indigenous entity. You know, it's like, I don't want to do that. You know, I want to make sure that they're healed too. They deserve healing. And I want to support everybody.
Before we let you go, we only got like a minute left here. Can you talk about your website and how people can get a hold of you?
Yes. Okay. Please, if you have any questions, you can go to twospiritadvocacy.com. And you can see some of the outreach entities that we have on there. These are vetted ones, too, to know that we've gone through resources to make sure that these are safe persons. So that's one of the things that we're always looking about. Who's a safe entity where I can contact and not be ridiculed or mocked or just turned away? These are some of them. We have to adjust it about every week right now because over the climate that's happening right now, we have to pay attention to certain things. But also, too, for twospiritadvocacy.com, we do have a library here, too. You can come in. Some of these books are banned in several states because they deal with the Black or Indigenous populations. You know, these are some of the authors, and also Two-Spirit populations as well. You know, so it's like, these are our authors that we have in our, so come on over, check our library. You can take some books. And also we have a large database that is the only one of its kind right here. Two-Spirit Advocacy is the only one of its kind in the state of Minnesota. And if you have questions, you can contact us at any time. And as you can go to our website, there's a phone number, and you can also email us.
Thank you so much. This has been a great show. Arnold Dahl-Woolley, Twin City Pride BIPOC Leader of the Year. We'll see you this coming Saturday. Big Peeny Geegee, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you, Peeny Geegee. Amazing. Hey, quit.
Ho-wah. We'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Minnesota needs diverse teachers who represent our students and communities. Explore teaching degree options at Metro State University's Urban Education Info Session in person at the Minneapolis campus on June 24th. Metro State's programs offer pathways to bachelor's degrees designed for those committed to serving urban communities. Visit campus, get an overview of teaching programs, and meet with an advisor. Sign up at metrostate.edu/urban-teacher-program. Become a teacher. Shape the future. Metro State University.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program, or TAP, is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP, along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a 2-Go card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. 612-373-3333.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month. right here on AM 950.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor, listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Ooh.
Hey, this is the howling one, isn't it?
Yes. In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our wolf population here in Minnesota. Say no to the hunts.
Howl! Hey, Arnold's still in the bullpen. Why don't we get him back on and go through the website and how people can get in touch again?
Oh, yay.
Because we were going to do it, but Arnold, you know, I'm kind of an amateur, even though I've been on 9 years, and Jaleesa's just started co-hosting this a couple weeks now, so we feel new and young. Welcome back.
Yes. It'd be honored to be back here, and then it's like, yes, if you have any questions for me, it's like I said before, you can go to our website at twospiritadvocacy.com. It's the only one of its kind here in the state of Minnesota, but also if you want to have a question, you can email us at twospiritadvocacy@gmail.com. And that's one way to get a hold of us, too. And it just goes right to our email, right at this computer that I'm talking in front of. And also, if you need more information, you can go to Two Spirit Center Book. And so that'll bring us to, like, our current and local events, things that are happening, and also my tidbits of the day. Because I usually, like I said before, I do have a lot to say, and sometimes I do a tidbit of the day just to tell you what's going on in today's climate. And also, too, to stay inspirational. Because I don't like to do, like, sad things. I just want to tell you, like, that we're sacred, we're special, we're honored, and to have that type of information, just to give you a little bit of info of what's happening in today's climate, that we don't need to think bad about ourselves or pay attention to, like, stupid things, to the good things, cultural things.
Absolutely. That's awesome. And I hear rumors, too, that Native Roots Radio might have you on every other week, so to stop in for a couple segments. We've really worn you out here. We've had you on the whole show.
This was your show. I love it.
Yeah.
Exactly. I would be honored to come back. I was just like, I had a wonderful time. I think you're awesome. I think this is great.
Appreciate it. And then we know each other from way back. I think you mentioned that with your sister. You two had a photo shoot, right?
Oh, not my sister, but, well, I call her my sister, but her name's Dwa. And yeah, then Dwa Brown. And so this was kind of great because Nadana, she asked me to, I've posed for pictures over the years, you know, for, like, different events and posters and stuff. But, you know, when I turned 50, and, like I said, I'm older than I look. And so she asked me, Nadana's did, say, hey, can you post for some more pictures? I'm like, okay. And so she goes, do you know another person around your age? And I was like, well, I know Dwa. So I know she's posed for a lot of different things. And so, sure. And so I called her up, and I've known her forever. And she's like, dude, we're 50. I said, come on, it's going to be amazing. You know, and it's for a good cause, for Two Spirit. And also at the time it was MMIW or MMIWR, and then MIP, and all the different acronyms for that. But they were going to see if they could choose the photo that was going to make it out of all these different models that they had out there. And they chose us. And so I thought that was very powerful. I was very honored to be a part of it, which led to, we just had another photo shoot. Not a lot of people know about that right now, so I'll release that on here. We already completed another photo shoot for Two Spirit and MMIR. And there's going to be a photo gallery release here in the near future after Minneapolis TC Pride.
That's awesome. Well, I hope to see you Saturday. And again, I really appreciate you, one, being on the show and then staying on the whole time. And then all the work you do, it really means a lot to us, because this show is all about promoting the good things in Indian country. And you definitely are. And I'm glad after we finally have gotten you on the show, you know, this is just awesome.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm honored to be here, and it's honored to talk to you again. So this is
excellent.
Great.
Well, we're going to have to work out our Google calendar and get you on every other week for a couple segments. That'd be great, just to give us updates.
I'd be honored.
Right on. Well, thanks again.
Jimmy Gwetch, have a great day.
Wow, you too.
Yes, you too.
Wow, that what fun.
So fun.
What fun.
I have to say, too, having all these conversations and having Arnold on here, I mean, it's bringing you know, this month is so great. Sometimes you wish you didn't have to have a specific month to celebrate somebody, right? Because right. we should be celebrating them all the time. And because we do live in this world, I'm just so glad that we can celebrate Pride together. I love sharing my birthday with Pride Month. I think it's just so much fun. And then I have to give a little shout out to my clients that are my LGBTQIA plus clients. You know, for those that know me in that world, you know, I can only say so much, you know, with HIPAA, but
right.
I run groups that are all men and then all women, but then I also run a group that is our queer community, and I feel so connected to that group, and they are just such a joy to work with. So I just had to give a little shout out to that.
Well, I have to give you a shout out too, because I've always your empathy and your Aww. deep feeling and love and positivity has got you right in the right place in your life. So as your Jaji, which means father in Ho-Chunk, we just did another word of the day.
Oh, yes, yes. For those that don't know, you'll always hear me say Jaj or Jaji. That is father, dad in Ho-Chunk.
But as being your Jaji, it's just I'm so proud of you and your sister. And I just want to say a big peeny geegee for hanging out with me here on Native Roots Radio. It means a big deal to me.
Thank you for having me back on. You know, you've had a lot of great, you know, guests and people that have worked with you.
Yeah.
And every time I'm on, I'm reminded that this type of thing does not feel like work. It's just a joy to be spending time as a family together, and then also just be, you know, keeping up with the news as much as we can, mm-hmm. and just sharing as much, you know, real news, and also just our passions and our experiences, right? We always talk about how, you know, when you're not talking about factual things, you're talking based on your own experience as a human. And I think that's really great for listeners, and then also for us to connect with people.
Yeah, you know, and it was just 9 years ago, you, me, Wendy, Uncle Curtis started
yeah.
Native Roots Radio. And if you remember the first show, we had no commercials. You had to do live reads.
Yes, I did.
And then we had to be quiet during the live reads.
Yeah, we were
all in the same studio. And we were sweating, and we got that first Native Roots Radio out of the way. And here we are in our ninth season. And I always remember that, that we were sweating bullets. And we did end up listening to that show after a while. And it was like, oh, that wasn't bad at all. Because
yeah.
we all were at Standing Rock, and we talked about Standing Rock, which is why and how we originally started the show is... just a lack of information about what was happening to Native Americans on the radio and on TV, and the things that we did see were so inaccurate. So it's been a good run, and you're part of the history, and now you're back doing more, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, for those that don't, you know, that are listeners, what I'm doing with my hands is it's just like, we were like kind of mouthing things, you know, out, and we were kind of like Jaji said, sweating and just kind of like, oh my gosh, you have to be quiet, you know, because you just don't have things quite down. And now it's always fun to talk about that, because you think about the growth, like mm-hmm. always remember where you've come from.
Yep.
I think a lot of things that I remind myself in my personal life, and I talk about my clients, or I tell this to my clients all the time, is remember when you wanted the things you have now. So remember when you wanted such a great, successful mm-hmm. show, Jaji, where you could reach people and have great guests.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, besides, you know, me and and Wendy and Choka, I mean, all fantastic. But now, I mean, there's so many just monumental moments that you've had on the show, and just great guests and great people on the show. So
yeah.
It's an honor to be here with you all.
Right on. And, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking, don't look how far you have to go. Look how far you've come.
That's
and,
right.
And that's kind of how I live my life, because if I would have.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Maggie Dawn.
Angela Lang joins me at the top of the show. We discuss the U.S. military strikes in Iran. Are they a big wag the dog, a distraction from Donald Trump's big, brutal bill and its impacts in Wisconsin?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, Vitaly's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Yeah, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Stephanie Officer. As of now, the Iranian foreign minister says there is no agreement on any ceasefire. He says if the Israeli regime stops attacking Iran no later than 4 a.m. Tehran time, they have no intention to continue responding afterwards, adding the final decision on ceasing their military operations will be made later. This right after President Trump said on social media today that Israel and Iran have agreed to a ceasefire. ABC's James Longman.
President Trump announced a ceasefire deal between Israel and Iran. Under the terms of this deal, Iran would initiate a 12-hour ceasefire. After that, there'd be 12 hours of ceasefire from Israel. If in those 24 hours peace is achieved, well, that is the end of the war. But as we know, a lot can happen in 24 hours.
Meanwhile, Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard praised what she called a historic ceasefire agreement between Israel and Iran. This is ABC News.